Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett with me today, and we got a very special guest. Dylan is here. Welcome, Dylan.
Hi.
You sound so excited to be here with us.
I'm not.
Did we kind of force you to do it?
Yes.
It's a father-son type of thing.
Yeah. Good thing that I'm his dad, so I can make him come on the podcast. But yeah, we're using this as kind of a trial run for our Africa trip. If you haven't heard, a few of us are going to get a chance to go to Africa in the end of July, beginning of August. We're sending a 10-person team from our church, all fathers and sons. So I feel very fortunate that I get a chance to go on this trip with Dylan, and we get to minister with Pastor Daniel and his dad, Apostle Vasco, and then we also get to spend some time with the Hiodos in Kenya. So I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit more about it in church as in the coming weeks, and we might touch on it on the podcast as well, because Kyle is going with us and Eli as well. So I'm sure we'll be talking plenty about Africa coming up, but excited to have Dylan on the episode today. Feeling very joyful.
Dylan, I mean, would you rather be in school for the whole day, or you just spend a little bit of time with your dad and me on the podcast? I feel like it's not that bad, is it?
I don't know.
All right, we could take you to school tomorrow instead. Oh, wait, you really do have to go to school tomorrow, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, Dylan's taking summer school health, and he has to go into school once a week. So He actually does have to go to school tomorrow.
Well, lucky you then. You won't have to be on the podcast. You can get to go to school tomorrow.
Okay, so this episode, I think we're going to call this episode Off the Dome, because all three of us are going off the dome. And we are actually following up on this past Sunday. We continued our multi-gen series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I got a chance to share a little bit about joy. So it was a lot of fun being able to share. I really enjoy multi-gen services, just being able to worship with our whole church family and spend time together. And yeah, looking forward to upcoming ones where we get a chance to continue our series on joy. So you guys have any initial thoughts on the topic of joy?
Well, one thing I actually wanted to ask you, since we have the speaker here to be able to elaborate, you've had a big hand in kind of re-emphasizing the purpose of our multi-generational services. And I feel like not only was it just a re-emphasis, but the level and almost expectation of the service, I think, has changed. And we've had a couple now. I was, you know, fortunate enough to be able to lead one and have the Forge, and Dylan helped me with that one. But for you, this is what, your second time since we've kind of re-emphasized it and have kind of pushed for a certain direction and made it a focus. How do you feel like it was for you this time? Because the first one was kind of like no one kind of knew. It was kind of like, okay, this is the direction we're headed. So presenting it to everybody, and then it was really good feedback. Mm-hmm. And then now it's been, you know, a couple months now with another one that you've done. So how has it felt, or was it different, or do you still feel the same heart to continue what it is? Or
that's a good question, Brett. I really do feel like my heart for this service especially has grown. I mean, when we first started Catalyst, I really had high expectations for this service because I grew up at Cerritos Baptist, and when we were growing up, you know, there were times where we did only have like one service, kind of like we do now. And I think it was like once a month they would do what they would call like family worship. And during that time, we would have everyone worship together, kids and families all worship together. And then there was a kids message, and then they would send everyone out into their classes. Mm. So it's kind of like what we do on a normal Sunday with everybody worshiping together and then dismissed to their classes. But there was a kids message involved in there. And then when we moved over to getting our own facility and having multiple services, that kind of went away. Mm. And I remember growing up feeling like, man, I miss that. I don't know what it was, but there was something about it that I missed. And so when that was on the table when we first started Catalyst, I was like, yeah, I think there's something to that of being able to worship together, being able to hear a message together, being able to just get the whole church experience together as a family. And that was something that was really exciting to me when we first started. And so now, as we've made the shift to re-emphasize the purpose and being able to make it a more of a family service as opposed to, you know, a service with the kids in there that's really made for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like, yeah, that's an exciting concept to me of the families being able to experience a service together, the whole thing.
Mm.
And it was cool too. I was talking to Robert Harris this Sunday before service actually, and he said he was talking to Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Tyson's his grandson. I think Tyson's six.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling him, oh yeah, Uncle Damon is going to be doing the message this Sunday. It's multi-gen again. And Tyson was like, oh, that's my favorite one. I like it when we're in there with all the adults and
oh,
we
wow.
get to do everything with the adults.
That's cool.
And I didn't realize that, but yeah, it was cool to hear that and that Tyson really enjoys the, you know, the first Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, wow, if our kids feel that and experience that and they're learning and then they're also getting opportunities, some of them are getting opportunities to, you know, read the verses or make mm-hmm. videos or participate, mm-hmm. you know, you had the Forge participating last month. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, these are actually opportunities for them to get comfortable in those situations where they might have to, or not, maybe not have to, but they might get a chance to participate in the future mm-hmm. or create a message or give a sermon or, mm-hmm. you know, that's one reason that we have Dylan here today on the podcast is because, you know, when we were in Africa, there might be opportunities for him to have to think on his feet and share.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to give him a chance to do that here on the podcast too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do think this one was different because there, I do feel like there was a, at least from my side, feeling like there's now a bar been set.
Yeah, thanks.
Not that I had to raise the bar, but just feeling like, okay, there is an expectation level of what it might look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so wanting to make it really actually for me, wanting to make it engaging for the kids, but mm-hmm. something else also that the adults can get something out of.
Yeah.
And so to me, that was a big compliment afterwards. I was talking to Lauren and he came up to me and he said, you know, what you did is difficult where it's engaging and fun for the kids, but also you're able to give content that is, you know, useful for the adults and that they can get something out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difficult tension to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you did that. And so to me, like, that's a real big compliment to me.
Yeah.
Feeling, okay, that was accomplished. 'Cause that's really what my heart is to make it something that the kids can feel, wow, he's talking to us,
mm-hmm.
but then also something where the adults can say, that wasn't a waste of a service. And, you know, he didn't just give a kid's message, but it was something that everyone can get something out of.
I was going to say, I definitely commend you because it, in theory, it kind of seems simple, but having my own experience of leading my own first service of a multi-generational service and trying to have all the pieces that be engaging and utilizing the youth, but then like you're saying, engaging the kids and then making sure that it's not a waste of a service for the adults too. Like there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to commend you because I think the bar that you set was good. But like you said, it's not so much a bar of performance, but just that do the kids feel engaged? I mean, if kids are saying this is one of my favorite ones is when we're in there, then I think you totally check that box. And then also for parents to say like, oh, I really enjoyed it, or I took something from it. It's like, okay, I checked the box. God was working when you were speaking. And so, yeah, I thought you did a great job. And Dylan, I wanted to ask you, this is like, you're becoming a regular in helping out with these multi-generational services. I don't want to.
It's been three out of the last four.
I know. I was going to say you've been helping a lot in different capacities too, whether it's, you know, helping give some of the message, whether it's reading a verse, whether it's acting out in a skit. I noticed that like it's almost like it's nothing to you now. Like you're really like this past one reading a verse, I couldn't tell there was any nerves, just walked up there, read the verse very, you know, you spoke very clearly. Everyone could hear you. What has been the difference for you like from the first time to now? Do you feel like there's been any change or difference?
No.
No? Are you still feel the same every time?
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard anymore?
Well, that's a big win because when mm-hmm. you were little, it was pretty hard for you.
And I think one of the fan favorites is seeing you on the video or seeing someone that looks like you for Dill Nye or what was the new name this time?
Dill Green.
Dill Green. How is it for you participating in knowing that it's a service where there's the kids and the adults, and you are someone who's actually helping the service run.
I mean, I like to see the kids all happy.
Mm. So your main focus is really on making sure that the kids are engaged. And because I know you're outside of church, you're really good with the little kids and you like to play with all of them. But I think it's cool to see your impact in service, that they can see an example of you leading and helping and almost like making it realistic for them to see like, oh, I could do that too when I grow up.
I like to make the kids happy, but I don't like making the message too cringe.
Too cringe? Like what?
Dad, you do what I told you when we were doing Dilgreen.
I don't remember. Why don't you explain it?
Yeah, what do you mean by too cringe?
Like he was saying, "Hi, my name is Dilgreen the Experiment Teen," and I thought that was really cringe. And then Karis came in the room and she's like, "That is cringe."
Well, I mean, we were trying to make the name kind of rhyme, right? Like,
yeah.
There's, you know, we stole Bill Nye's stuff to say Bill Nye the Science Guy. So he became Dill Nye the Science Guy. But, you know, if this is going to become a regular thing where we're doing science experiments, I didn't think it would be good to continually use that, right? Mm. So I thought maybe we should do something different and just came to mind, you know, if Dylan's birthday is coming up. He's going to be a teenager soon. So what if he was Dill Green? Green's his favorite color.
Okay.
Dill Green, the experiment teen. Like, it's fun.
It flows. Yeah, yeah. And it's entertaining. I think that was the biggest thing people took away is like it engages everybody. So thank you for rolling with the cringe, even if it made you feel a little weird because
the name wasn't cringe. It's how Dad said it.
I thought you.
So it's the delivery.
When you were talking about it to me, I thought it was. I thought it was the name. I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, it was how you were saying it.
Oh, okay.
Well, Dylan, I just want to tell you that it's been awesome to see you grow in your confidence and just your self awareness in knowing. Yeah, you don't always like to speak a lot, but I know that in class, you know, whether you're sharing or you're helping lead, that I've seen so much growth in your willingness to do things and it not be, like you said, it's not hard. It's not that hard. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to, you know, be willing where God gives you opportunity because you have a good, one of the things I see in you is you have a good way with people where you're able to connect with a lot of people where even in our class, I think you're one of the, like I would call you the glue pieces where you help bring everybody together. And so, I'm proud of you that you're able to do that. I'm glad that feels like nothing to you because even for me, sometimes being up there and having to help it's not easy.
What?
Uncle Brett just gave you a big compliment.
It's okay. I hope
you have a response.
Oh, thank you.
you're welcome. Well, back to the message itself, Damon. You know, the topic of joy has been something on my mind in terms of, okay, I'm one that is pretty good at keeping an even keel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll get excited about things here and there. My wife will say otherwise. I am not that excited or I don't show too much emotion, but
I think when the Dodgers win, you get pretty excited.
I do. Or maybe I show more negative emotion, frustration and stuff like that. But joy is something where I do feel like the Lord wants all of us to experience more of his joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think specifically for me, knowing that I kind of keep a straight line. I try not to get too high or too low for various reasons, but I do think that sometimes caps my willingness or even ability to experience or openness to experience God's joy. And so I really appreciated your message, but you know, I told you afterwards on Monday when we were in work, I said, man, your message kind of convicted me because it made me think about the season that I'm in or thinking about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in preparing for it, can I experience God's joy even when kind of like the circumstance or the season isn't like a, I guess kind of how we deemed it like a happy season. And so I know there were some things you wanted to kind of elaborate in terms of like this happiness idea and the seasons of joy, and not necessarily being, they can go in hand, but not necessarily have to be the same. And so what is your idea about happiness, joy, the seasons that we face, the circumstances? And you were able to touch on it some, but I know you wanted to elaborate more.
Yeah, so at the end of the message, I kind of wanted to do this object lesson with a pot of coffee, right? So I brought some coffee, I poured it out, and I made a pot of coffee, right?
Yeah.
And so initially, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to invite someone up to try the coffee. And I know a lot of people in our church, they like black coffee. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the black coffee yet. My appreciation for it has grown immensely. Like I said in the message, when I was a little kid, I remember my mom would be making a pot of coffee. I'd be like, oh man, that smells so good. My mom loves hazelnut. So our whole house would be full of that hazelnut coffee smell. I was like, oh, that smells so good. And then I would ask her to try it, and this does not taste anything like it smells, right? And so I that kind of like ruined my taste for coffee growing up. So then when I became an adult and I started to drink coffee regularly, you know, my wife will still make fun of me. And I did feel bad about kind of throwing, she doesn't really get mad at me. So everybody out there, she doesn't really get mad at me. It's kind of like a joke thing. She's not really, so don't think that my wife just gets mad at me about all kinds of stuff.
It's like a love language thing.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, she'll kind of make fun of me a little bit about that I like to drink the white coffee because my coffee has a lot of creamer in it. But I enjoy it. I really actually enjoy and look forward to drinking my cup of coffee in the morning. But anyway, so I like it with a lot of stuff in it. I know a lot of people in our church really like it black. Right? And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring up someone that does enjoy it black to talk about kind of why they enjoy just the full flavor, strong coffee, right? And because I think, and the way that it kind of relates to joy is I think a lot of times when we think of joy, we think of it like this happy-go-lucky, this really excited part of it, right? Because that is an aspect of joy, right? But a lot of times to me, that's kind of like the really coffee creamer with sugar and all kinds of stuff in it. But that's not the fullness of joy, right? There's other examples in the Bible that God uses that are pictures of joy that aren't really like that, right? Like when it says that, you know, because of joy, the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. It's like Jesus wasn't, I'm excited to go to the cross. I can't wait to do this.
Let's go.
Right? He wasn't like that, right? But there was an aspect of joy that allowed him to endure that whole thing. And so what is that? Right. And, you know, other parts of the Bible says, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right. And when I think of that, it's not like, oh, I'm going to be so happy that I'm going to be strong, but it's more like this deep conviction, this deep, expectation that God is going to show up and that God is going to pull through. And it kind of goes hand in hand with like a hope, like that my hope is in the Lord and that what he's doing is good because that's who he is. He's good. And so that allows me to be strong, or that has allowed Jesus to go to the cross. It's like the joy of knowing that we can be reconnected with him allowed him to go to the cross. Right. And so thinking about it like that, when we think of like the black coffee, right? And when I've talked to people about why they like black coffee, they always tell me, well, you're missing out on all of the intricacies of the flavor of the coffee. You're just tasting creamer and you're just tasting sugar. You're not actually tasting the coffee. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to illustrate with that portion of this the sermon was I wanted people to see like, yes, joy can look like happy-go-lucky and all that, but that's not the fullness, and that's not the fullness of what joy actually is. And God wants us to experience the full range of what joy is, like joy as our strength, joy as something that can allow us to continue to move forward even when something we know is going to be difficult, right? Like Jesus knew that going to the cross was going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the joy set before him, he was willing to endure that.
Mm.
Right. And so are there aspects of God's joy that he wants to grow in us that will allow us to look at situations and approach difficult situations, but say, I can do it because of the joy of the Lord that's in me.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so that's something that I wanted to illustrate that I was like, I don't think the kids will get it in there. I don't know if we have time. And so when we were talking about it on Monday, I was like, oh, maybe this is something that we can throw into the podcast, because knowing that people that are listening want to go a little bit deeper, that this is something that we can incorporate onto this episode and talk about it.
That's a really challenging, I don't want to just say idea. I guess that's a really challenging truth, because I mean, who doesn't want to experience the happy excitement part, right? Especially if you're in a season or trial where you're not experiencing that, mm-hmm. like you kind of can't wait for that moment of relief where you can just, we can celebrate, we can, you know, cheer, we can jump for joy, we can, you know, have those moments of bliss and feeling glee. But the example that Jesus sets that you are referencing to, like, that's a deep, like, profound, mature, like you're saying, hope, belief, discipline to be able to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from what you just shared, it highlights to me of how the fruit of the Spirit, that joy, like you said, there is a part of hope that comes with it, right? I could see and hear there's a part of peace that comes with it, a part of self-control, all of these things that kind of emulate that picture of Jesus knowing that he's going to the cross, but there being that joy that's set before him. And when I was talking about why I was convicted and the season that I'm in, you know, there's the hope and the want and the wish that if that happens, then you're like, okay, then I don't have to worry. Like, then I will be happy. I won't have to worry about all these things. But it's more along those lines where, like, okay, if it doesn't play out the exact way that I want or I expect, can I still find that joy in there? And so I think that's where what you shared and where I am at really speaks to me having to sit with that and kind of let that marinate and ask God and find God in that place, mm-hmm. so that I can be in that place of hope, of joy, even in the waiting or even in the season where things aren't playing out exactly how I want it.
Yeah, I think too, one of the things that we talked about on Sunday was how the joy is supposed to be something that other people recognize,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's supposed to leave a mark.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. If someone's going through a difficult situation and then you're like, if I'm going through a difficult situation and I'm it's okay, everything's good. Da, 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 I'm joyful or happy, mm-hmm. excited. People are going to say that that's not relatable.
Mm.
Right? And so that is not going to actually be comforting to them.
Or it's like you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. They're going to say there's it's not going to feel the same, mm-hmm. to them. They're not going to receive it in the same way as like, that's from the Lord, right?
Mm.
Or at least I don't think it would.
Yeah.
It might, but I personally don't think it would.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a sense of like, hey, I'm struggling with this, but I know that the Lord is good and I know that, and I have hope and I'm not letting it get to the place where I'm like depressed or that because of the joy that I have,
mm.
it doesn't have to look like the happy-go-lucky,
mm-hmm.
but there is something like, oh, wow, like, there's something in there. There's a strength in there that mm-hmm. is that I want that if I'm going through a difficult situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They might not necessarily want like, I mean, it would feel I don't know about weird, but it would feel sometimes it might feel like not right for certain situations to feel like, oh, I'm,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
happy
mm-hmm.
in this situation. Like mm-hmm. that doesn't, there's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
it feels like you're disconnected from the situation, right? Mm-hmm. And so what does the joy look like when you're fully connected to the situation, mm-hmm. but able to move forward in hope and in joy and in strength?
Yeah, it reminds me of just the idea where when we talk about like fear, right? It's like, it's okay to feel scared or things come up and kind of fear starts to rise, but it's, do we let that fear dictate mm-hmm. what we do? So in the same way for like joy, it's okay that that situation may not bring happy feelings or we might not be excited, but does that dictate like our joy? Does that dictate how we're going to move forward in that same way? Right. And so,
and then how does that dictate how we're going to treat other people too? Right. Mm-hmm. 'Cause a lot of times that's what the enemy wants to do, right? Mm-hmm. Is that when we're going through a difficult season, he wants us to treat other people badly.
Yeah. Rain on everybody else's parade yeah. too. Yeah. But that's a good point.
And so are we going to allow that to dictate everything, or are we going to recognize like, I'm going through something difficult, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I need to bring everybody else down. I can continue to, you know, have the hope of the Lord, have the joy of the Lord, mm-hmm. and people will see that too. Mm-hmm.
Were you rapping, Dylan?
No.
Sounded like you were rapping or something in the background. I think your message and just kind of talking to you about it more and that place, that little extra bit that you want to elaborate on is really where my mind and my heart has kind of been wrestling. Mm. And so I think it really spoke to that and convicted me of, not that I was putting it off to the side, but really bringing it to the Lord and kind of addressing it mm. between me and him, like, okay, because the reality of it is I might feel a certain type of way. I could mask it or, oh, I don't really want to deal with it. And so I, you know, put on the back burner. But in my heart of hearts, it's like, this is a realistic probability or feeling that I have or situation that I'm in. And so putting it into the perspective and frame of, okay, well, in dealing with it, honestly, how am I looking mm-hmm. at it? What lens am I taking the lens of, okay, this doesn't feel good, so yeah, I can't have joy in this season? Or looking at it through the lens of, well, okay, I'm gonna have to lean on some of these other things like hope and be able to hold on to the joy that God has set before me mm-hmm. so that when I walk through the season, when I go through the trial or whatever it is, it's not, yeah, I'm not being a jerk to everybody around me, I'm not, you know, getting defeated and depressed or being beat down, mm-hmm. but you know, I can continue to just kind of take life as it comes and walk with the Lord and wherever he's directing.
Yeah. I think, to me, that's where the Lord wants to take all of us is mm-hmm. to this place of maturity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, why we're, as a church, going through having all these different classes, going through these different seasons, because he's trying to raise us up mm-hmm. and raise up our maturity and see things through that lens of, you know, the Lord is good and he's with me and he's going to continue to be the good farmer and till my soil, help mm. me to be put in situations that's going to cause me to grow in maturity and stuff. So we do have Dylan here.
Yeah.
And so, we've been kind of writing notes back and forth to each other because mm-hmm. I think there's a situation that he wanted to talk a little bit about joy. Mm. And so I wanted to give a little bit of background on the situation and we could talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
And it does have to do with like our circumstances and experiencing joy. And mm-hmm. it's a kind of a real life situation that he's been going through.
Awesome.
So it's kind of cool. Dylan had a really good baseball season this year. And so he was asked to be on the All-Star team.
Okay.
And so heading into the All-Star team, you know, he, like I said, he did have a good season. And so part of that was on his team, he was the leadoff batter. So he got to bat a lot. Mm-hmm. He was also the everyday third baseman. He got to pitch a little bit too. So he got a lot of the action in baseball. But, you know, heading into the All-Star team, that's going to be every team's top players. Mm-hmm. And so when they asked him to be on the team, you know, personally, I wanted to make sure that his expectations were good going in, because mm-hmm. you know, his role on his team now, the team that he was on this season, is going to be very different from his role on All-Stars.
Mm.
Just knowing that it's going to be the best players from every team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we sat down and I had a conversation with him. It's like, you know, I'm totally would love for you to be on all, to play on the team. No matter what, you are an All-Star. They asked you to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going in, I just want you to make sure that your expectations are right. Like, if you don't get to play at all, are you going to be upset?
Mm.
You know, this is your one season, because he's aging out of this league. So this is the one season that he's going to get a chance to play All-Stars. Like, but if you don't get to play, are you going to be upset? And he thought about it for a minute, and then he said, no, I think I just want to play. I want to have one chance to do this.
Mm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to go in, you know, expecting that maybe you don't get to play, but if you do get in, that'll just be a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so how's All-Stars been so far?
Good.
Have you?
We're 0-6 right now.
That's okay. Have you enjoyed it?
Yes.
And you've gotten to play, right? So it's not like the expectation that your dad said, like, hey, if you don't get to play, are you going to be okay with it? You actually got to experience playing and being a part of the team and contributing.
Yeah.
Has it been hard to enjoy playing even though your team's 0-6?
No. It's just sometimes kind of boring when you're sitting in the outfield and they always hit it to left field.
Because you're playing right field and they hit it to left field.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that conversation that your dad had in kind of setting the expectation, do you feel like that helped you be okay with, like, even being 0-6 or not playing as much or even feeling like it's boring? Do you feel like that conversation helped you, or did you already have it in your mind, like, the expectation for All-Stars?
Well, I kind of knew that, like, I probably wasn't going to be, like, the best players or the best player on my team.
Mm.
So I knew I probably wasn't going to play that much infield, because a lot of the kids that made All-Stars, I knew, and I knew they were good at infield already.
Mm. So you were able to have just a realistic expectation for yourself and for the situation in committing to playing All-Stars?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm fine. I like playing outfield. I mean, I can track the ball.
Mm.
Yeah, you're actually pretty good at tracking the ball, so mm-hmm. playing the outfield is a good position for you. So, you know, in the midst of all this, I did ask him again,
mm-hmm.
you know, this weekend after the games, and I said, hey, like, let's revisit that conversation that we had, partially because another player on the team is struggling with that same situation.
Mm.
And so knowing about that, you know, I asked him again. I said, if you were in that situation where you weren't getting as much playing time or things like that, do you still think you'd be able to enjoy and you still want to be on the team? And how did you respond?
I don't remember.
He said I still would have a good time, and I still would, you know, want to be on the team and participate.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, that's good that he still has that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Even recognizing while someone else is struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more you want to say?
I don't know.
I think it sets a good example of the expectation and, in a sense, like, knowing your role and, like, finding joy in that. Because it could be easy still to be like, okay, I know I'm not the best player. I know I'm not going to play that much. And you can tell yourself, like, yeah, I'm good with it. And then it comes to the game and you see everybody playing, or you're sitting on the bench, or you're not getting as many at-bats. And then it could be like, nah, I don't like this, or I'm actually not okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say, yeah, like, it's fine. Like, I'm okay in the outfield. I enjoy, you know, I'm good at tracking the ball, or like, his perspective isn't looking at what's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to look at what is happening. And I think that's a huge part in being able to have that perspective of joy in a situation or experience where, yeah, maybe it isn't ideal, but he's finding joy in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the proudest parts for me of this kind of journey
mm-hmm.
was, so, you know, his friend was struggling with mm-hmm. the concept of not getting as much playing time. And then he got in the game, and he actually replaced Dylan. Mm-hmm. So Dylan had to sit on the bench so that his friend could play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Dylan came over, and Dylan had a big smile on his face. He's like, oh yeah, he's so happy that he got to play.
Mm.
Right. And so just seeing like the friendship aspect of it, and Dylan was just as happy for his friend
mm-hmm.
to get in, and that he was happy.
At his own expense too.
Yeah, at his own expense. Mm-hmm. Like that he was, you know, genuinely happy for his friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that, I was really proud of him for that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. I think that speaks to just that leadership that I see in him, and just like him being that glue guy of like, hey, like if you get to play and it's a win for you, then it's a win for me. Like it's a mm-hmm. win for us. And that's something that, yeah, I really admire. And I know that it's in him, and it comes out naturally. Like it comes out naturally. I've seen it in the dynamics with our middle school group, and just, you know, he's willing to laugh at himself so that everybody else has a good time too. And so, good job, Dylan. I think it also proves to, yeah, maybe your skills and your performance of being an all-star on the field are good, but also being an all-star, just like representing the team, who you are, who's God made you to be, and bringing that to the table as an all-star team is some of those intangibles that I think are needed, especially when you got a bunch of all-stars.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, also, this next tournament we're going to, it's only 10 people out of our 14 people get a bat.
Mm.
And everyone that goes on the field stays on the field. It's kind of like real MLB baseball.
Okay.
So.
Do you know if you're going to be one of those 10, or do you have an idea?
No, not really.
Do you feel like you'll be okay either way?
Yeah.
I think you're really good too at like cheering other people on.
Mm-hmm.
So like even if you're on the bench, like you can help encourage people, you know, cheer for them, spur them on. If they get upset or, you know, they're bummed out about a mistake or whatever, you can help pick them up. And that's the whole idea of being a good teammate.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea behind Stronger Together, right? Mm. Is that sometimes we, you know, we're going to go through difficult times. And it is going to be difficult to have joy in those situations. And sometimes we need a friend or someone else from church, or, you know, a good teammate that just is there to pick us up and there to help to encourage us and not let us get to those low places, right? And so mm-hmm. I do feel like it's cool because as we talk about Fruit of the Spirit, as we talk about Stronger Together, as we talk about all these things, they all go together, right? And so even with our thinking about, you know, patience, right? And the video you showed of Brinley, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, she was patient. That's true. She was patient, but then she was also pretty joyful. And
definitely.
Like, I really enjoyed her little dance that she was doing. And, you know, and I was thinking about it too. If she was upset going in, she wouldn't have been able to do that, right? So there was an aspect of peace that she had too, right?
Self-control, all of those aspects. Yeah.
Yeah, self-control, all of it. So it's like the fruit of the spirit. It's not just, you know, each one on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not each characteristic on its own, but it's the characteristics, and that's why it's one fruit, and it's all one thing, because they all go together.
The fruit of spirit and those aspects are the real infinity stones. Well, Dylan, I'm sorry I'll be gone this weekend, but I was going to say I would volunteer my services if you really wanted. I could go to the game and start a chant. We want Dylan. Put pressure on the coach to put you in.
Well, there's a few weeks before the next tournament. The next tournament's not coming up this weekend.
Oh, okay.
But actually, we're going to be gone. We're going to be visiting a friend of the podcast.
Oh, awesome.
In Colorado. We're going to visit the Wogans. So
that's exciting.
I know that Olivia has been a pretty faithful listener too. So shout out Olivia. We're excited to come visit and see you guys. It's been a long time. So we're excited to, as a family and with the Brineys too, to be able to come visit and spend some time with you guys. So
that's super awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to miss that one, but there's another tournament the weekend after that. So maybe we can get Uncle Brett to come cheer you on for that one.
Yeah, I'll bring a sign and put pressure on the management to get you in the game. Is there anything else, Damon, that in your prep or just God kind of highlighted to you when it came to joy or just even the heart that you have for our church in the season that we're in, you know, in the Stronger Together, in Burning Brighter, in the direction to be a city on a hill, how kind of all those things play together? Is there something, anything that you wanted to share or leave our people? Because normally you get to be the captain and you get to direct everybody and let them share. But I think it's a cool opportunity to hear from you, especially after just speaking, where your heart's at. And
I mean, I think to me, one of the things that the Lord has been highlighting recently is legacy.
Mm.
And I think that's one reason that to me, multi-gen is so cool, is to recognize the legacy.
Mm.
And we have so many cool people in our church. And, you know, it's interesting too, thinking about the podcast, and I didn't think we'd get such a wide range of people and ages and that listen, but you know, people come up to me and it's like, oh, I didn't know you listened to the podcast, or oh, I didn't know you listened to the podcast. So we do have quite a range, and it just shows just our church and wanting to support each other, wanting to pour into each other, wanting to encourage, but just also the legacy that, you know, for me, one of the things that I think of when I think of legacy is, when I was younger, early in college, I went to like a young adult service, college age service at Gardena Valley Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember the first time that I went in there, and it's all set up like a living room in that service. So people are on couches. It's kind of in the round. So you're facing other people. It's not just like on a stage. And I sit down and I look right in front of me, facing me is my grandma. Right. And she's in her 80s, 90s at this time. And she's there trying to support the young adults. And I asked her, I was like, Grandma, why are you here? And she said, you know, I don't really care for the music. You know, she was an organ player, so she loves hymns and that style. She's like, I don't really care for the music, but I want our young people to know that my generation supports them. And so I'm here so that they know that. And I was like, wow, Grandma, like, that's so cool. Like, for me as your grandson to see that you want, like, my age group to know that you guys are supporting us, like, that's so cool. And so to recognize, like, we have that heart at our church too, that we have so many people that are, you know, older grandparents, but they want to see our young people and encourage them, and they want to pass down their love for the Lord to the other generations. And I think that's something that's really cool about our multi-gen service, is that we get to experience that all together. You know, someone at our church that I really appreciate is Robert Ganico's dad, right? Uncle Kaz. I call him Uncle Kaz, right? And, you know, just every time I see him, he's always trying to encourage me, you know, and just his love for the Lord. And one thing that I think is special about him too is when he's in service and he's during worship and he puts his hands up, I feel like that changes the atmosphere of the whole room. And so, you know, just the way that he is intentional about trying to pour into, you know, the younger generations, it's like, that's really cool. So I feel like legacy is something that the Lord's really been highlighting to me personally, and recognizing, wow, like, I wouldn't be where I am today without the people that poured into me. You know, I was kind of reflecting on this past Sunday, and I felt like the Lord said, don't forget to thank Joanne Caba, right? So Miss Joanne, she was the children's director at CBC. And a lot of times she would dress up and do these cool object lessons and things like that. And so, you know, I reached out to her the other day just to say thank you, because, you know, some of the ways that these services are moving, it's a product of her heart and her, you know, her skill set too. And some of the things that she would do at CBC that, you know, were pretty groundbreaking in children's ministry and stuff like that. So just to see that, you know, my faith now the faith for my son, where he's able to, you know, experience joy in situations that other people might not be able to. It's a byproduct of the people that came before.
Mm.
And so just to be able to honor the legacy and be thankful for the legacy that we have, where we don't have to start from scratch. We actually get to, you know, start higher up because of the people that came before us. So just very thankful for that. Thankful for the Lord for that, that we get that at our church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have so many cool, amazing people at Catalyst. I'm just always telling everyone, we have so many cool people at our church. I just really feel blessed to be a part of our church family, because we have so many cool people. God has really blessed us with some really cool people.
Mm. That's awesome. I know Miss Joanne, she's had a huge impact on me too. And so she's definitely a legend that, you know, I think even in the picture, her at, like, as a farmer, all the seeds that she's planted and
yeah.
just, you know, in children's ministry, in other leaders, and just like, it'd almost be like her coaching tree and like where it all spreads, like it'd be pretty vast. And yeah, she's been a huge inspiration to me too, and like VBS and just all of that. And so mm-hmm. That's really cool that that was on your heart to acknowledge and yeah, even share it with her.
Yep. Shout out Miss Joanne, like totally appreciate you and the time and the effort that you put into, you know, mentoring me and spending time with me. I just, yeah, love you and appreciate you so much.
Last thing, Dylan, this is the last thing I'll ask you that you have to talk about. I know you're not really excited to, but I was going to ask both you and your dad in leading this past service about being on joy. How would each of you encourage someone that maybe is searching for that, or it feels like they're missing that joy? How would each of you encourage someone?
Okay, Dylan's pointing at me, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a time to think. So he better come up with something really good.
All right.
Really? Dang it.
If you go first, you don't have to think of something good. You could just say whatever's on your mind. But anyway, you told me to go first, so I'll go first. You know, I think the passage in John 15 is really, to me, the key, right? And that passage is all about abiding.
Mm.
You know, it's where Jesus talks about, you know, abide in me and I in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times what the enemy tries to do is when we're in a difficult situation is to point us towards isolating ourselves or to point us towards trying to do everything on our own.
Mm.
Right. And so what I would encourage someone that's dealing with a difficult situation or looking for that joy
mm-hmm.
is to remain and abide,
mm.
you know, and it's so easy to move down that direction of trying to do it on my own,
mm-hmm.
right? I got to carry this burden on my own. I got to do all these things on my own. But I think that just plays into, you know, the enemy's hands, where the isolation, the burden of carrying it on our own, it just disconnects us from the Lord.
Mm.
And so I think in those times, it's just, And I don't think it's actually a difficult thing. I think that's something that the Lord has been trying to kind of shift my perspective on also, is thinking like, oh, to reconnect, I need to like do this and this and this and this, and it's going to take me a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But just to shift and have that expectancy that the Lord is going to respond when I come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually made a big difference for me personally. It's like, oh, if I'm asking the Lord for something, to have this expectancy that he's going to talk to me right away.
Mm.
Like, not that I have to wait 2 weeks to hear back from him, or
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to sit here and, you know, be quiet for 2 hours before the Lord actually wants to speak to me and he wants me to hear from him.
Mm.
And so to have that type of expectation that, no, he's going to speak because he's good and he's a good father and he wants me to hear his voice.
Mm.
He wants me to abide. He wants me to stay connected.
Mm.
And so to have that type of expectancy. So if you're someone that's struggling with that, maybe that's part of it, is there needs to be a mindset perspective shift.
Mm.
And so maybe that's what it is. Ask the Lord, what is that? Am I responding to something out of a truth, or am I responding to something out of a lie, right? And to seek him and abide. So, okay, Dylan, your turn. Now you have to come up with a good one, because I came up with the just the top of the top off the top of my head one.
The question was helping someone if they're struggling with not finding joy, right?
Yeah, or how would you encourage someone that maybe feels like, oh, I don't experience joy. Or from your experience, how would you encourage someone in that way? Like, what would you say to them if someone came up to you and was like, saying, Dylan, I've been having a really hard time. I feel like I haven't been experiencing joy. I've been pretty down a lot and not really enjoying life.
That they should probably talk to God. Like, God will help them. I don't know.
That's not bad advice. That's not bad advice. That's not a... Just not the wrong thing to say.
Yeah, I think that's something else that the enemy will try to do, right? Is try to discount our ideas, mm-hmm. try to make us think, oh no, that's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean that's a simple one, but mm-hmm. it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Lord.
Point them.
Ask
to,
the Lord.
Yeah, point them to who we need to be pointing people to. I like what you guys said in the expectancy and going to the Lord. The shift that I've been trying to have too is like, when it comes to expectancy, it's almost like put the pressure, the quote unquote pressure on God, because he can handle it.
Mm.
Right? Like, instead of feeling like the pressure on you, like, I got to get myself out of this, or I, you know, oh shoot, I'm going to fail, or I'm going to, it's like, okay, well, if you feel like this is supposed to happen, or it seems overwhelming for you, it's like, okay, God, time for you to do your thing and show up, because and I think that's something where, yeah, that expectancy and that hope and that joy and all the things we talked about, we can find it in that God's gonna show up.
Yeah, I think that's a good word, Brett. So Dylan, do you have any closing words for our listeners?
No.
Are you looking forward to going to Africa?
Yes.
What is something that you're looking forward to on our trip?
The flight.
You're looking forward to the flight?
The 17-hour flight where I can play Pokemon.
I don't know if you're going to be able to play Pokemon on the flight, but
I'm not sleeping.
All right. Well, we'll give you an update, or all the listeners will give you an update of how that actually went, because it is going to be a long flight. You know, the traveling there, it is on the other side of the world. So the traveling is going to be a big, big chunk of the time that we're doing it. But, you know, really, I do feel blessed that we get to partner with such amazing men in Pastor Daniel and Apostle Vasco, and the ministry that they're doing over there, and that the Lord has connected us with two men with just a similar heart, you know, and their heart for their people to come to the Lord and experience the gospel and live it out. I just feel very privileged that we get a chance to partner with them. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. And
yeah, we're looking forward to hearing how it goes. And Dylan, maybe they'll ask you to be on a podcast out there, and you'll be already geared up and prepared for it.
Another one?
That is kind of on my mind, is potentially trying to record some stuff while we're over there so that we can give like updates.
That's cool.
On the regular, trying to figure out the logistics for what that might look like. And, mm-hmm. you know, you never know like internet speeds and all that kind of stuff over there. But
true.
That's on my mind of something that would be nice to be able to do. And, you know, Kyle and I will be over there with our sons, and as well as Pastor Barry and Matt and Henry and Jaden Chi and Eric and Garrett Ka'ai. So we've had some of them on the podcast before. So we got plenty of people that have experience on the pod. So maybe we'll be getting some episodes direct from Mozambique and Kenya.
That would be awesome.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up this episode. Thanks, Dylan, for coming on. I know you were pretty reluctant to come on, but thanks for sharing. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.